Let me read you a verse in Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 tells us two things to be careful about. One is the lust for food and the lust for money. It says here, when you sit with a ruler, be careful about what the food set before you. Put a knife to your throat. Proverbs 23:2. It's picture language. Put a knife to your throat, to your lust for eating, if you're a man of great appetite. Don't desire his delicacies. One thing, food. Many believers are a slave to food. Why did Jesus speak so much about fasting? Fasting is a way I prove that food is not the most important thing for me. God is more important than food. You can eat good food. I'm sure Jesus ate very good food whenever he could, whenever there was an opportunity. But he also learned how to fast. But if a person has never learned how to fast, then he's a slave of good food. You can eat any good food if you also know how to fast. And you ask yourself, it's possible that some of you have never fasted, even once in your whole life. Never fasted for 24 hours in your whole life. I'm not teaching that as a way of spirituality, but it's a way of telling God, you are more important to me than food. And I know in my younger days, I practiced it regularly. Every now and then, say, Lord, I'm going to serve you, and I want to prove that you are more important to me than food, definitely. I will not be a slave to food. I can enjoy a good meal, enjoy a good piece of food, but I'm not going to be a slave to it. Because that's what will make a lot of people complain. Look at the number of husbands in the world who complain the food is not tasty. Upset with their wife because something not cooked up to the mark. They're slaves, absolute slaves. I'm not saying that you cannot tell your wife if there's not enough salt or not enough something, but to have a complaint about it. It's believers who are slaves to food. So that's one thing. And the other thing he says is about money in Proverbs 23. Verse 4, don't weary yourself to gain wealth. Yes, we need to work hard to earn our living. But don't weary yourself to gain more and more and more and more, much more than you need. And cease from your consideration of it. Cease from always thinking of how can I make a little more money. You have enough, brother. You have enough for your family. Enough to lay up something for your children as well. Why do you want to keep on after this craze? Because he says, I'll tell you, he gives you a warning. When you set your eyes on it, verse 5, it'll be gone. Yeah. You should have been setting your eyes on God. Instead of that, you set your eyes on making more and more money, it's gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings. What a wonderful word. Wealth certainly makes itself wings, like an eagle that flies towards heaven. You try to catch that eagle. It's crazy. It says going after money is like to catch an eagle. It's just going to fly away. So these are the warnings the Bible gives in this area. Lust for something. So Paul says in Romans 7, let's turn back to Romans 7, I found all this lusting in me, and I found in my flesh these desires are there. And then he goes on to say something very honestly, and he's seeking to come to a life of victory. And this is the testimony of a born-again person, a born-again person who has heard in the church that sin will not rule over me. He says in verse 15, I can't understand what I'm doing. I'm not practicing what I want to do. You find yourself like that? Lord, I want to do this, but I'm not doing it. I never want to get angry, but I get angry. I never want to lust, but I find I fall into it sometimes. Paul is honest. I'm doing what I don't want to do. I'm doing the thing I hate. That's not the testimony of an unconverted person. The unconverted person loves it. Here's a converted person who says, I hate it. I still might find myself sometimes falling into it. What shall I do? Now, if I do something which I hate, I'm agreeing that God's word is right. Then it is not me doing it, but the sin that dwells in me. It's like a conflict. There's this thing called the flesh in me that's pulling me, and I don't want to do it. And he says, I recognize that in my flesh there's nothing good. Full of lusts. The willing is present in me, verse 18, but the doing is not. Now if I were to ask most of you here, or if not all of you, do you really want to give up all sin in your life? I'm sure you'll say yes. But you find it's not true tomorrow or day after. He's very honest. The good that I want to do, verse 19, I'm not doing it. But I'm practicing sometimes the very thing I hate to do. And after I did it, I say, oh God, why in the world did I do it? Isn't it good that Paul, the great apostle, is so honest about his testimony? We love our reputation so much that we will never be so honest. We will act as if we are always overcoming. I like Paul because the guy was so absolutely honest. And yet he lived in victory. That's what I want to tell you. But he says in verse 20, Romans 7:20, if I'm doing what I don't want to do, it's not me, it's the sin that dwells in me. Okay, he says, I find a certain principle in me that there's an evil present in me, the one who wants to only do good. Do you agree there? In my inner man, I agree 100% with what I hear in the church, the standards of God. I'm sure that's true of almost all of you. But I see another law in the members of my body. It's like the law of gravity, always pulling you down. Wherever you go in the world, it's pulling you down, pulling you down, pulling you down. Waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner to the law of sin. Then he says about himself, I'm such a wretched man. Do you ever feel like that? When you really wanted to do good in your life and you went and did something terrible. You say, Lord, why in the world did I go and say that? Why in the world did I do that? I hate it. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body which is full of spiritual death? And he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He will set me free 100%. That we must end there. Don't end somewhere else in all those previous verses. You must end in verse 25. I believe that Jesus Christ my Lord will set me free. What is the habit that's enslaving you? Where you say, thanks be to God, He will set me free from that through Jesus Christ. Say that to the Lord today. But it doesn't happen overnight. So, with my mind, I'm totally serving the law of God. But there's this other flesh in me, which I'm not free from, which is only serving the law of sin. It's always going to serve the law of sin. The snake will be a snake. Only cobra will only go around stinging people. It's never going to be like a gentle lamb or a dove. No. That flesh will always be corrupt. As long as I live till Christ comes again and changes me completely. So what shall I do? Now here is the very important verse I'm coming to. Don't condemn yourself. Romans 8:1 is the conclusion of Romans 7. It's unfortunate that there's a chapter division there. There is no condemnation, even though, verse 25, my mind is serving the law of God, my flesh the law of sin. Have you understood that? I want to read it together so you understand it. My mind is totally set 100% on obeying God in everything. But this wretched flesh in me makes me slip up now and then because it's serving sin. But I refuse to be condemned because of that. Romans 8:1. I will not live in condemnation because I slipped up then. I am going to be an overcomer. I'll learn. It may take time, but I'm going to learn. Because the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:2, has come to me, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, to set me free from this law of sin and death working in me. That's why I say we must seek God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't mean to have some spectacular gift, but the power of the Spirit to put the flesh to death. There's no other way to do it. Joshua could kill the giants only through the power of God. And every sin that you're a slave to, God can help you to put it to death. Remember that. So, that is another law. The law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus that sets me free. See, that is something like this. Here's a law of gravity that's always pulling this thing. This is the flesh pulling. The law of gravity is the flesh. I'm trying to live a holy life, but I'm falling. No matter what I do, no matter where I am, it's falling, falling. This is how sin pulls you down. But now, why is it not falling? There is one thing that's preventing this from falling. The law of gravity is still operating here, just as strong as ever. But there is another law, the law of the life in my body, which is holding it up. And as long as this pen is willing to remain held by my body, it'll never fall. As a human being, I may get tired holding my hand like that, but Jesus never. He's never tired of holding you up. Unto him, you know, the last verse in Jude is, unto him who's able to keep you from falling. It's almost the last verse in the New Testament before Revelation, Jude 24. Unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and falling. It is another life. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit has come to give us that life that can hold you up against this law of sin and death that's always pulling you down. Seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit.